This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip, then you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon, a real girl. You guys sent in questions, and today I have a friend to help me help you. Nikki Limo is a comedian and the exact same mix as me, which is
Filipino and white, half and half. Not only that, but our dads are the Filipino ones and our moms are white, which is really rare.
Yeah, it's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe I would date a Filipino boy, but I haven't in the past.
The most I've gotten is like a quarter Filipino guy. He really looked like a tan white guy.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It just feels like I'm kissing my cousin.
I just really like white guys a lot.
Yeah, you know, that seems to be the trend with me. Mostly I just like guys that make me laugh, and I just happen to live in a lot of white neighborhoods, I think, because I don't know, I just haven't really run into a lot of people. Well, first of all, I don't leave my house, so that's
Same.
A problem
yeah.
with meeting people. And then the people that I end up, like, I met my husband through work, and it was, he's a comedian, so made me laugh, and he happens to be white, so there
You're
you
so
go.
So lucky. I'm jealous of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is that the proper response?
We have a bunch of questions that were sent to us, and I figured that you'd be a great candidate to answer some of these.
Well, thank you. I've answered some questions in my lifetime.
You're well equipped. Okay, we're just going to jump right into it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, from the first person, the subject line is sending this while eating a bag of Cheetos.
Okay, first mistake.
Yeah, when's the last time you had Cheetos?
I think when I was in elementary school, I used to love Cheetos. I called them bones because I don't know. They
That's
like
weird.
Bones. I don't know. I call a lot of things weird names. Didn't have friends, weirdly.
I kind of see the through line.
Yeah. But then some kid told me that the Cheeto dust like rots holes in your brain. And I believe everything I heard back then, especially since this kid was a third grader and I was a first grader. So stopped eating Cheetos, haven't looked back.
Wow. I like the taste of Cheetos. It's just like the remnants of it on your finger. I don't think is worth, like, the return of investment is not worth it.
Oh, see, that's the part that I loved, and I was scared of it rotting holes in my brains. I'm a fatty, so in fact, every time I've gone on a diet, like, I one time was just addicted to french fries, right? And I love french fries, and I was like pretty overweight when I went through puberty, so I convinced myself that I was allergic to french fries and like they were poison, and I was gonna like have like a crazy allergic reaction where it would like send me to the hospital. I convinced myself that was real so that I would stop eating french fries.
And I
stopped for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
And then I took it back up again when I...
You took it back up again.
I was
right.
Really broke in L.A. I keep eating french fries now.
I wish I had a better french fry story. I just have never quit eating them.
Yeah, don't.
I won't.
Okay.
Thanks for that. Okay, here we go. He says, I think this is a guy, I've been following you for years now, and something that I admire about you is how fun you make being active and eating healthy look. Oh, this is perfect Aww. For right now. Also, your openness while eating damn good pasta. I've been struggling for a while with body positivity and the process of becoming healthy in all aspects. Any advice? Wishing you all the best and sending love, the trying Cheeto. I guess it's a girl, maybe. I mean, I guess I don't really know.
Maybe.
Everyone has body issues.
You know, we won't judge. I think, you know, this is a hard one for me to answer because I am not a picky eater. So when I give up foods, there's so many foods that I can still eat that I love.
Okay.
I love broccoli. I love vegetables.
You're not relatable anymore.
I know. I'm so not relatable. I guess so I love pasta. Mm-hmm. I love all that stuff. But I just switched over to quinoa and brown rice pasta at Trader Joe's. And Ooh. It tastes bomb. It's like the same thing. So whenever I switch something and it tastes the same to me,
yeah,
it doesn't really feel like a sacrifice.
That's nice.
And I feel like healthy eating isn't as hard as people make it seem. Like people think, oh, I have to eat a salad at lunch. No, you don't. You know, I freaking hate salads. That's like one thing I hate. I like everything in the salad, but I hate the green part of the salad.
The salad part?
Yeah, you don't have to eat a salad. That's not the only healthy thing on the planet.
Yeah. Well, in regards to body positivity, like, I know that every day I'm like, oh, my jeans don't fit. But, like, have you ever gone on a crazy diet where maybe you're not eating even brown rice or, like, ate, like, 500 calories or just tried not to eat at all?
Yeah. Definitely had an eating disorder in high school. This is probably not a great positive thing, but you can keep it in because I think that makes me more relatable.
And you need anything.
Please like me. Just like I'm broken, I'm flawed. Just like me.
You're young and you're married. I feel that's what we should be highlighting.
As a curvier person.
Yeah, that's because we're Filipino. I feel like we have like genetically and inherently already like we're thick.
Yeah, we're supposed to climb coconut trees. Like we're supposed to have thighs and like muscles and like chunky legs and hips that bear children and all that stuff. And so when you try to fit the mold of what you see in magazines or now on social media, you know, of just everybody like looking thin, although I will give you this generation loves the booty, which wasn't a thing when I was growing up.
Yep.
So I'm happy about that. I'm like, yeah, I got a booty, but what about this waistline?
have one without the other. It's a 2-for-1 deal.
Right. And I think that going to body positivity is just accepting the things that you have and instead of hating them, like embracing them, because everyone would make fun of my butt when I was a kid. They were like, your butt's so big. And I like cried because I like didn't want a big butt.
Yeah.
But then now everyone's like, oh my God, your butt is goals. Like, you don't know what you have that's one day going to be the enviable thing.
Right.
So hating on yourself for things that you think are problems is just a waste of time and energy. And I still struggle with it. It's not like I'm totally cured and beyond it. I mean, right now I'm having a problem with like bloating issues and I feel like I think I have candida overgrowth. And I'm not on a diet right now that's just to get rid of that overgrowth. See, now I diet for like actual health reasons.
Yeah, which is, by the way, candied anything, I'm in. That sounds so good.
It's not candied, Megan.
Oh.
Candida. It's a yeast. Hi, do you have a boner? But it sucks. I hate dieting. I'm just all for the non-restrictive, just love what you're eating.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think like eat what makes you feel good. I don't want to quote Khloe Kardashian, but it sounds like I'm already about to. I also don't know the quote, so I don't know why I brought her up.
It's your quote.
It's my quote. It's like, eat like a salad for health, but then eat a cheeseburger for your mind health or something. But it is true. Like, for like 5 days, I don't eat carbs. And then on the weekend, I go buck wild.
You go carb wild? Wow.
Yeah, I do. To wrap this up, like, what's the main tip that you would give a person that's struggling with body positivity? Because like I think everyone does, even like Gigi Hadid probably struggles with it, or like maybe she wants to be thicker like us and like we want to be like Kendall Jenner. But I think body positivity isn't a thing more than it is like, I think it's more of a verb, like it's a thing that you have to do every single day and be like, ugh. Well, at least, like, I have a body. And at
totally.
Least
totally. Okay, yeah, because once you injure part of yourself and you can't use that body part, it makes you so grateful. Oh, yeah, you're going through this right now.
Yeah, I have a bum shoulder.
Oh, once you get healthy, you're like, I am so grateful to be able to move the shoulder again. And you forget all the things that we take for granted. So my biggest tip would just be, like, embrace what you have and, like, be thankful for what you have. And also just, like, find the things that you love about yourself and just exploit them. Like, if you love your butt, wear some jeans that make your butt look good and like make you feel good when you walk out of the house every morning or whenever you walk out of the house. I don't know, my house.
I don't know your life. You're eating Cheetos. Okay. Next question. Okay. So I need some advice. It's going to sound so ridiculous, but I just need a female's perspective on this.
So it's a guy, I'm assuming.
I guess so. And we're female, so this is good for us.
We are female.
Okay. So this is a guy, right? It's a girl?
Oh. Oh. So she just wants another female's perspective.
Yeah. Sad to say, I'm notorious for jumping from one relationship to another. So when my 3-year relationship ended, I started talking to someone else a couple of weeks after. We talked for about 2 months when he asked me to be his girlfriend. At this point, I kind of already had doubts about him, but when I got introduced to him, I kind of had the option to pick between him or his friend, and I chose him because the other guy just seemed so douchey. So fast forward to February. I friend requested the douchey guy on Instagram because we kind of had a back and forth conversation at a birthday party. I had no intentions with adding him, but then he started messaging me. Nothing too crazy. Just small talk here and there, joking about random things. Then last week, I was going to a birthday party. She goes to a lot of birthday parties.
Yeah, a lot of parties.
I've never been jealous to this many. And that night, I ended up getting really drunk and going home with him. I felt so guilty and panicked the morning after because I was unsure of what exactly had happened, and of course felt even worse because he's friends with the guy I talked to previously. I know it seems so naive of me, but I have been trying to continue to just kind of use him for hookups. Or should I say pretending to use him for hookups in hopes that he might fall for me and maybe something will actually become of it. Signed, a hopeful hookup.
Wait, so she's dating the first guy?
She dated one guy, and then...
And then they broke up?
I guess they just kind of fizzled out, but then the douchey friend of his...
I see.
She ended up, like, talking to, and now wants to be with the douchey guy.
Why would you want to be with a douchey guy?
I mean, question number one.
Right.
You make a good point. I mean, well, here's the thing about women. I feel like... Girls like to be treated poorly for some reason.
Yeah, it's not that we like it. It's that I feel like our subconscious attracts that.
Yeah.
Depending on whatever issues we had during childhood.
Well, that's what it is. I think the love that you got as a child with your father, you try and emulate and search for whenever you're an adult. So, like, if you have a closed-off father, you kind of want someone that's stoic and stone-faced to, like, give you attention.
Even if you hated that relationship with your father, even if you're like, I'll never be with someone that's like that, you just naturally attract it because subconsciously, that's how you define love.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. We've broken the walls of philosophy.
Now you just need to realize that and decide if that's a pattern you want to continue or if you want to set a new definition for love. That's something that I had an epiphany about right before Steve and I started dating. Not right before. It was after my last boyfriend broke up with me because that was a terrible, unhealthy relationship. Very much the definition of, like, that stonewalled, like, dad love. Just really,
stonewalled dad
please love me. You're not loving me enough. Yeah. I need your love. So I realized that I had set this pattern. I kept a daily journal, so I went back through all my old journals, and I realized I was repeating the same pattern over and over again throughout my relationships. I just wrote down what I wanted and what I was not willing to settle for anymore.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, and it really helped because then I went through that checklist when I would be on a date with somebody, and if they were throwing up any of those red flags that honestly I felt attraction for, like it was a red flag, but for some reason I was attracted to it, I would check myself and be like, this is on the list. We're not settling for this.
Wow.
Oh, he's depressed. I'm depressed. It doesn't work.
You can't have two
we pull each
thing.
Other down.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so self-aware.
Thank you. It's hard.
Thank you. Have you ever, before Steve, have you ever fallen for a friend of whoever you've dated previously?
No, you know what? It was backwards. So I fell for this guy, and then I ended up dating his friend who was the better guy.
Okay, so he ended up being better.
Yeah, but not. I didn't realize he was better until we started dating.
Yeah.
Like, he was actually, like, the real grounded, like, that was my first boyfriend. I don't know, he was just, a more of a relationship guy and would, like, do anything for me. Whereas the other guy was more of a, like, cute skater boy, you know? And
they both seem like catches to me.
Yeah.
So this girl is trying to get this guy to fall in love with her.
See, that's...
And they're
that's,
hooking up
that's
right now.
Don't.
That's don't.
Don't do that.
Here's my tip, don't.
That's a no. So I get that. I think we've all been there where we're like, I think you're more into the chase than you are into the guy.
Right.
Because if you're trying to get someone to fall in love with you that you've described as being douchey,
right,
and you only want to use him for hookups or until he falls in love with you, it just sounds like you want the chase. You want the conquest mm-hmm. of, like, I did it. I got him to fall in love with me, but I don't know if you're actually in love with him.
Right. Well, especially if the main adjective is douchey, like that doesn't sound like someone would that would be worth a chase.
Right. But if he's rejecting you, like think about a guy that keeps like rejecting you or is kind of elusive. All you want is to just like, why doesn't he like me? Why?
I know.
What's not? What's wrong with me? What is not good enough? I'm gonna just hit it even harder.
Isn't that so backwards? That like, so if a backwards. Guy doesn't give us attention, we're like, it's our fault.
Yeah,
it's not our fault. We're fine.
And I think that's a big part of it is like, you really have to know yourself first. You have to know what you bring to the table, what qualities that you have that are valuable to the person that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, it just, you're just chasing
nothing.
Yeah.
Something that you don't even want in the end. Okay. So a wrap up tip for this.
Don't.
Do something
Stop.
Better with your time.
Honestly, take a single break. Figure out what you like and what makes you happy in your own personal life. And then the person that you find is just going to make your life happier. Like, you don't need them.
Yeah.
Because you're already happy. But if someone comes along that makes it better, then great.
Yeah.
But you'll know, because if someone comes along and makes it worse, that's not the one.
I completely agree. And I think this girl's going to have so many more birthday parties where she can find other people that hopefully aren't douchey.
So many birthdays.
That's just too many birthdays. How do you have that many friends? It must be nice. Okay, we're going to take a break while Nikki gives us a little extra piece of advice.
Ooh.
You can find it on meganbattoon.com/podcast, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Nikki's here. Nikki, you just started a podcast too.
I did. It's called Shit They Don't Tell You, where we tell you all the shit that no one told you when they should have told you.
That's such a great idea, because I feel like the government / everyone mm-hmm. keeps a lot from us.
I like it's the government / everyone. / everyone.
We include everyone.
Yeah, but also the government gets its own sector.
They're not a part of everyone.
It's coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming out soon. It'll be just wherever you get your podcasts. We're mostly on CastBox is our favorite place, but yeah, it's available everywhere. So Megan's our first guest on it.
Yay! We're adorable. Okay, moving on. We get this. Are you ready to continue to help others?
I guess.
I mean, what else are you going to do on a Tuesday?
I know.
In terms of wedding advice.
Oh, okay. A lot of knowledge on this.
And I have zero, so I'm going to be learning all
I'm
of this.
Envious of you for zero.
And I'm envious of you.
Okay.
As someone who's trying to be budget friendly for my wedding,
yep.
What are your opinions on what you think can be skipped out of on a wedding? What are the least memorable parts of a wedding that we can consider leaving out? Favors, flowers?
Yes, all of that.
From a frugal fiance.
Okay. Yes. Everything. It's all bullshit.
Don't
buy into it. No, seriously. It really, really is a scam.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
I was budget friendly, right? But I was so naive about weddings because I had never looked up a wedding. I'd never been to a wedding before my own wedding.
Are you kidding?
No. Like, not as a guest in my adult life. I'd been when I was a child, but not in my adult life.
Whoa.
Had I been to a wedding. So I didn't know what to expect. And my parents got married. They eloped on a Tuesday on their lunch break at the courthouse. Yeah. And so I had nothing to go off of. So I really thought a wedding costs like $1,000 all in.
Oh, My gosh.
Yeah, because like the biggest party I'd ever thrown was my birthday parties. And I'm like, okay, that was like $500 was the biggest, most extravagant party I've ever thrown.
Oh my
this
God.
Is like a double birthday party.
A probably double birthday party. Wedding slash double birthday
yeah,
party.
Yeah, which it basically is if True. It wasn't all fancied up by this scam of an industry. So I think it should cost $1,000, but it doesn't. I would say the thing that I didn't think was going to be a big deal, like I really didn't think I gave a shit about, was the dress. And I ended up falling in love with the dress that I picked out, and it was worth the extra money. I thought I was going to pay $200. I'm like, it's a white dress. Who cares?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I found like just it was just the way it fit was like pajamas. It felt like pajamas, but it looked like an amazing body contoured dress.
It was gorgeous.
Thank you. That part I didn't expect to fall in love with. I was really just cynical about that. I thought it was just all hoopla, and it can be if you want it to be, but I don't know. I liked the dress and I splurged a little on that part. Everything else, okay. The most important, music, booze.
Yeah.
Food. You got to have booze, okay?
You have to.
You have to have an open bar. If you invite people to your wedding and you don't have an open bar, that's just mean.
No one's going
to
come.
No. Or the people that really love you will come, but they'll hate you. Like, they'll resent
leave.
You.
They'll leave before you say I do.
They will, and they'll find a really good excuse to leave.
The excuse? You don't have an open bar.
Yeah.
At your reception.
Exactly.
We already know.
Fortunately for our wedding, it was sponsored by Captain Morgan.
I know.
Which was
so
awesome.
Lucky.
It was they actually owned the company that owns Captain Morgan also owns Don Julio, tequila, Crown Royal, Bourbon Bullet Whiskey, Smirnoff Vodka. So we had a full bar and they let me do like five different, what are they called? The drinks, the like specialty drinks. Yeah. And I got to name them cute names that were themed with the wedding. But the guests, everyone was like hammered and they were having so much fun. People have way more fun when they're drunk.
Of course.
So the next would be the music. Like, make sure you have good music. And that's not really hard. We had a DJ and she was really budget friendly. She was great, awesome DJ, and just kept people dancing. And then the food. Make sure if people are drunk, they got
to
be eating food.
You have
to. So make sure you have enough food. I was going to go super budget friendly and go Chipotle.
I love it.
I love Chipotle.
Or just
but
wings.
But they didn't deliver, so.
Chipotle doesn't deliver?
They don't deliver. So, and everyone that I would have pick up the Chipotle, like, we went to Chipotle right after the ceremony, just
oh
the bridal party.
God.
We just went to the actual Chipotle restaurant in full,
so
like,
funny.
Bride and groom costumes. What are they called? Costumes?
Garb? Wedding garb?
Garb. Costumes. They feel like a costume. It felt like a sketch.
Yeah. You don't know how many times I've worn a wedding dress in a sketch. By the time it's my wedding day, it's not even
it didn't
special.
Feel like it.
I'm just, like, where's my script?
And especially since I did a lot of sketches with Steve, like, that was how we met. So it just felt like we were in costume for filming a sketch.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so I ended up doing Trejos Tacos. It was really budget friendly. It was a buffet style, really good food. They had vegan options, all that stuff. And then photography. Like,
ooh.
Definitely splurge on photography, because if you're going to be planning this for a year or however long you're planning this,
some
you want
whole lives.
Someone that knows what they're doing, because that's all you have to remember that day by. And I've seen people go low budget, like really low budget on photography, and they regret it because there's nothing left for them to like look at about
I
that
know.
Day.
All you have is your memory, and that's never good.
Yeah, and if the photos are shitty and blurries.
Yeah, blurries?
Blurries? They just call them blurries. They're not even photos. They're just blurries.
Have you seen my wedding blurries?
Yeah. And if your memory was all drunk, then you have blurries in your head too. So definitely get a good photographer. The going rate, which I did not know, $3,500 is the standard rate, like the base level for 6 hours of photography.
Jeez.
Yeah. You would think, because the most expensive photos I had ever taken at the time were headshots. And
yeah, okay.
Those are extravagantly priced. They're $800 is like the bottom level for good headshots.
Right.
But the thing about headshots is you can take them again.
Right.
You can, that's why
right,
they're not nearly as expensive. So the reason why wedding photographers charge so much is because they have to be able to capture the exact moment you guys kiss. this. The exact moment you give cake to each other, the exact moment you're throwing the bouquet. And if you don't have someone that's experienced with that, they are going to miss it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have a blurry.
What a stressful job. My sister got married, and I remember that she did a really budget-friendly wedding, too, and still shelled out so much, even for, like, the chairs.
Yes.
The chairs and tables alone. And
oh, my
forks.
God. Like, oh, we did plastic silverware.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the place we catered from, I was just like, bring a bunch of to-go silverware. I'm not dealing with that. Just disposable plates and stuff, because disposable napkins, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You're at a wedding, you're not going to remember the napkin?
I don't remember
who
your
napkins. Who remembers people's napkins? Also, invitations? Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, can we say fuck?
We did.
Fuck those invitations.
Yeah.
We went to, originally, we were referred because our wedding coordinator knew that we were on a low budget. By the way, low budget for us was $10,000 and under, which is really ultra low budget in the wedding industry, which sounded like a fortune to spend on a party, but I guess
right.
That's like ultra low budget. We ended up spending $18,000 mm-hmm. Total, which I thought was pretty good, but would never have expected to spend that much on a day. But so she knew our budget, and she referred us to some really affordable, you know, printing wedding invitation maker people, and their base level for like just a standard, nothing fancy, no pop outs, no maps, no anything, just a standard invitation was $1,100 for 80 invitations.
Are you kidding me?
Not even joking at all.
This is egregious, and they know that you're gonna pay for it because there's nowhere else unless you
came to
me.
There is
done calligraphy.
You know what? There is other places you could go. Because immediately when I got that email of the price, I didn't respond. I went immediately to Vistaprint.
Yeah.
And I uploaded our engagement photos, and it looked great. Like, who keeps your wedding invitation?
Yeah.
No one. They put it on their fridge until your wedding, and they throw it in the garbage. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to spend an arm and a leg on wedding invitations unless there's some, like, image thing where you're insecure about your relationship and you need to put on a show, which I honestly think most people do. When I was talking to the photographers, they're like, man, you're, like, the chillest bride we've ever worked with. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I started thinking about it, and like, yeah, because I don't care about any of it. I care that I love my husband. That's it. Like,
right.
And I care that our family and friends are there. But if you only spent your life to get married, like, you were just like, the goal was to get married and have a wedding and get him to propose to you, and you didn't really care about the guy or who it was, then your wedding day is like the most important day of your life, and like, you spend so much time planning and everything has to be perfect, and
it's just one day, and most of the guests have just blurries in their minds anyway, even after
exactly.
It so okay, as a tip for this girl/guy, the least memorable parts of a wedding that they consider leaving out. They asked for like favors and flowers as two of the things that they said.
Yeah, favors, you can leave out, skip it.
What's a wedding favor?
Like the little, like, you see, exactly. You don't even remember when you go to the wedding.
Like, like a bottle of bubbles?
Yeah, exactly. The little things that are on the table, like that you can take home. They're like, sometimes they're like little baskets of candy, or
you know what you can take home? This memory of me marrying my best friend.
Exactly.
That's good enough.
And you could take home your drunkenness because you're welcome for the open bar. And the flowers, oh my God, I had no idea.
Because
Trader Joe's, you go there, it's $5 for a bouquet. Okay, I need all my bridesmaids to hold one, so that's, you know, 6 times 5, that's $30. Okay, done. No, it was really expensive, and I would honestly, if I were to do it again, my flowers were awesome. They were really amazing, and we got them at wholesale price because the florist we used was just starting out, and she just, you know, was giving us like wholesale prices.
That's
for
a good
the flowers.
Idea. Yeah,
but it was still like $1,500 for a base, like, just not even, these were not fancy bouquets. Like,
I'm talking dandelions, weeds.
they were roses, but they were it was small, like small bouquets. It did not like fill up a room, right?
Yeah.
And that was $1,500. Whereas at Michael's, they had make really realistic looking flowers.
True.
Like, honestly, like, if I were to go back, I would have filled out more with the fake flowers from Michael's, because people can't tell. They just want to see when people walk into a room, they're not examining every flower. They just see colors.
Yeah.
Right? So if you have like fake flowers that look pretty much like real flowers, no one's going to go up to them, feel them, and go, oh, she didn't splurge on the real flowers, huh? and they die.
They
like,
die.
You can't even take them home. You like at least the wedding dress I get to keep.
Yeah.
You can't take the flowers home, and the wedding cake you should not spend a lot on either.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I guess not many people.
We did a cupcake tower, and I thought that was, it was great. The cupcakes were great, and it was much cheaper. It's like $200 as opposed to $1,000 for a freaking cake.
Yeah. I guess for this person, I would say, as someone that's never been married but has been to a few weddings,
yeah.
The only thing I really remember, I remember your dress. It was gorgeous.
Thank you.
I remember the first dance you guys did like a comedy bit.
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. And then I remember that you guys had an ironic ice sculpture. And that's really it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't think you need to splurge so much except for the things that really matter to you, which
is so fun too. Like yeah. You really didn't need a much. Yeah, that would be my biggest advice is just have fun.
Yeah.
Like it's your day. You only get that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think people spend most of the day worrying about it the whole time. Just have
so much
fun.
Pressure.
And if you have time, do the DIY. I didn't have any time. If I had time, I would have loved to do DIY. I just didn't.
So many DIYs on Pinterest.
Yeah, and they look great.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit for my sisters. I burlap bows everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how much she spent, but she spent my time. That's what happened. Okay, we have time for one more question.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can you help us? Okay, here we go. Dear Megan, I'm not sure what to do. I'm currently in this weird phase of being dumped and seeing new guys. I miss my ex-boyfriend a lot, and we're still friends, so it is super hard to not be attached still. But I am also hooking up with a lot of guys and seeing new guys on the side. We got guys everywhere.
This is a mess.
I am being asked to commit to one of the guys I've been hooking up with. He's nice, but I don't think he's my type. I think I like the idea of him more than him personally. I'm not entirely sure what to do about this, though. I'm not sure how to move on from my ex and also what to do about this guy I've been hooking up with. Can I please have some advice? I'm struggling severely.
I wish they... Oh, sorry. Say their name.
Crushed and Crushing.
I like it.
Very good.
No, guys.
Just
like,
no.
So no on the new guy that you're not really in love with. No on him. Why commit to somebody if there's no actual love there? Like, really, like it's just going to end and then you have to deal with another breakup.
I know.
So don't, like, really just don't settle. I wish they said their ages on this.
That would be nice to know. Yeah. Because it definitely seems like a 18 to like 23 style question.
Yeah. Because if you're young, go nuts. Sure. Like, yeah. Mess up your life. Like, just fail. Like, just do all the mistakes.
Nothing
do it all.
Like,
I
right
don't
now.
Have any advice for you. Just go nuts. But then if you're older and you're actually serious about finding someone that you really want to commit to for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
if not forever, if you believe in marriage, then don't with the games and the stuff. Like, if you have an ex, let go of him. He's gone. It
truly
either is or
let
isn't.
Go.
Just get rid of. Don't follow them on social media. Don't be friends with your ex. Just don't. Like, none of it.
Being friends with your ex, I think, only works if both of you are repulsed by each other after the relationship, or if there's like nuggets of a future.
Exactly.
Because other than that, what's the point?
Exactly. It's just gonna hurt. Like, if you still have feelings and they don't have feelings, because usually that's how it is.
Always.
One person still has feelings, the other one doesn't. And so they both can agree, like, let's just be friends. And one thinks that maybe eventually
mm-hmm.
they'll get together. And the other one's like, oh, no chance in hell. And that just, it hurts. Why do you want to hurt? Why do you want
pain? Excuse me, quick question. Why do you want to hurt?
Do you like this hurt?
And most people do. Here's the thing that I feel like she might be doing, because if she just broke up with someone, it's almost like a rebound situation. Or there's like that rule that's like once you break up with someone, you have like the buffer and
yeah.
then you have the real relationship after that first like weird
sure.
thing. But like, yeah, I don't know why it's a question. If you don't think he's your type, then,
right.
then don't
then
commit.
It was just a buffer.
But how, if it is a buffer, and if someone's asking you to be in a relationship and you don't think there's a future, but they do,
you say,
how do you say
no?
You just go no. No, thank you.
Okay, let's say did they text you? Let's say they said it in person.
Sure.
Will you be my girlfriend?
Yikes.
Megan.
Gotta
and
go.
You don't have feelings.
I go, wow, look at the time. It's getting so late. I guess I should be getting home to someone I actually like.
I'd say if someone said that to me and I was in that position, yeah. I would say, you know what? I'm just going through a breakup right now. I'm not really in the position to mm-hmm. commit to somebody. Just, I mean, this is all true stuff. You just leave out the parts of like, I'm repulsed by your personality. I don't really like you, but just the idea of you. Leave out that part.
Leave out the truth
yeah,
is what you're
but,
saying.
But give some truths that are real. Like, mm-hmm. You did just get out of a relationship. Yeah, you do need some time to heal. Yeah, you're not in an emotional place to start a new relationship, obviously, because you haven't let this old guy go.
Mm-hmm.
So those are truths. When you find the right guy, there's no question about it. There's no like, oh, maybe what if, I don't know. It just is like, you know, right away. Like when I went on a date with Steve for the first time, I actually had another date set up for the Monday after another guy. And I really liked the other guy that was the Monday date. But Steve and
I hope that's his name.
The Monday date. He's forever the Monday date. And he was great. Like, we started flirting way before Steve and I started flirting, but this guy was just taking his sweet time asking me out, and he was just kind of shy, so whatever. I was, like, letting it be slow. But I had known and really had feelings for Steve for years, and so when he asked me out, we went on our first date, and we just clicked immediately. Like, it confirmed everything I always thought could be true.
Yeah.
It confirmed everything, and I was texting my friends at the end of the night, do you want chicken or steak at our wedding? Because I was that sure.
Oh my God, I love it.
Right? And it ended up happening, and really I was joking about the wedding.
We didn't have chicken or steak. We had vegan carnitas.
We had
I remember
everything.
Your wedding.
Yeah, but I didn't know that it was actually going to be him for sure, but I was so sure about him. Then Steve asked me out for Monday. And
he's the new Monday date.
Yeah. I just canceled on the other guy. And the other guy was great. He was great. But I wasn't like, let me explore my options.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. Let's see what's out there. I was like, no, this is it. This mm-hmm. is everything that he checks all my boxes. It's like house shopping.
You whipped out your list.
Yeah. And so I just think subconsciously, if you have people as placeholders, that place is being held. It's not open for the one to come in. And you don't realize that you're doing that. You don't realize that you're not even looking or open for the one when you're having someone else be there.
That's very profound.
Thank you.
I feel like, I mean, we've been to the same psychics.
Yes.
One of them told me that I had a placeholder guy, and she was like, he's holding the place of someone that is right for you, and this one isn't. But like, how much, who knows exactly.
But it's just good general advice, even if.
I agree.
Yeah.
So if this girl not knowing the right one for her, and mm-hmm. she's just trying to get over her ex-boyfriend, what's your main tip of advice for getting over someone?
You know, date around. You know, that doing hookups and that kind of stuff is fine, but getting into a serious relationship where you are committing to someone who this person is basically saying, I would like to spend mm-hmm. my life with you and or like at least a long period of time. I would like to enter a serious relationship. You can't leading them on and being in it is not making either of you happy.
Yep.
It's just that's a mess waiting to happen. So, date around. But when something's expired, then it's expired. Now you don't date that guy. Like, now you don't or hook up with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You just go on dates with other people until something happens where you're like, oh, my God, I really like this person. They just, like, get me and I get them and they see the world the same way.
Yeah.
Then stop there to go with that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely keep your options open and keep researching. But I guess my main tip of advice, especially in the world we live in now with social media, would just be like, block them on every single thing.
The ex. Yes.
Yeah. Take everything that they gave you, anything that reminds you of them, put it in a box. If you're fully over them, burn it.
Yep.
If you're not, just keep it until you don't want it anymore.
Also, it helps to keep a list. Or I don't know. I'm a list person.
Nikki and these lists.
I really like my lists.
So do I.
But I keep a list of all the reasons we didn't work.
I did that too. Pros and cons.
Yeah, because I feel like your mind starts to romanticize mm-hmm. your ex relationship, and you start to convince yourself that maybe he was the one for you and all this stuff. But if you have that list there of like why it didn't work and why they're not right for you, then you can refer to that and tell your brain like, no, you're being stupid.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I think that's great. Okay. Well, best of luck with your
Yeah, good luck with life. All your boys. Jeez.
That was our show. Thank you, Nikki, for helping out with all these questions.
Thanks, Megan, for having me.
Yeah. Give us a 5-star rating and comment your 2 cents for this episode, because why wouldn't you help these people in need?
You're mean if you don't.
You're mean. You're bad people. You're like the government and everyone
and everyone
else that's not telling us what we need to know. If you have a sticky situation or burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona, because we don't want anyone to know who we are.
That's
in
sexy.
This world.
I don't want anyone to know who I am.
We're covering up everything.
But please like me if you do know who I am.
Please like me. I just want to do a good job.
I really do.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.